Welcome to this edition of Stop Gun Bans Weekly Podcast. I am your host, as always, Michael Zubik. It is Tuesday, September 15th, and this week we have a fantastic and special guest for you. The life, the legend, the myth, Stephen McKee, who is our Facebook group moderator. I felt that this was an edition that I should do just for the people who have been members of Stop Gun Bans Facebook group. The private group, you can find it by going to Stop Gun Bans on Facebook. So facebook.com/stopgunbans. Click on the groups tab and join the private group under the same name. Stephen has been our group moderator. He has been a very great guy. He has helped me through thick and thin, and he has an amazing life story. And I decided to even debut his episode 3 days early. So, without further ado, after the break, ladies and gentlemen, Stephen McKee. Joining me for this week's edition of Stop Gun Bans podcast is your Stop Gun Bans private group moderator, Stephen McKee. Stephen, how are you today?
I am excellent and free.
That's a great way to be. Thank you for coming on. I'm so happy to have you. And I'm so thankful for all the work you do for us at Stop Gun Bans and our group. You've been a lifesaver, my friend. So thank you again.
Oh man, happy to do it. It's a cause I believe in and wouldn't have it any other way. I remember the day you said, hey, I need a moderator or an admin, and I admin a couple other groups as well. So I happily stepped up. I usually have my phone on me, and really the only time I can't be gotten is when I'm either deep in spray work or sleeping.
And I got to be honest, man, I was very thankful that when you stepped up, and because I guess of our time differences, you manage to catch a lot more stuff than I do. So as much work as I try to put in, man, you really show me up, and I appreciate that.
Man, I'm just glad. Just glad to help, Michael.
Thank you again. So tell me a little about yourself. Tell the group a little about yourself, and of course, whoever else may tune in. You know, who are you? Where are you from? What do you do?
I am Stephen McKee. My parents were missionaries in Africa, so I was born in the Congo in 1967. We came back to the States when I was six. I have been fascinated with weapons and firearms my entire life. My dad left me my grandfather's 32 pistol, which is a 1905 Savage Arms 32. And so now I've passed it down to my son, and that's four generations of owning that particular weapon. Still runs and or shoots and fires just fine. I've been married twice. I have nine kids. I've been all over the United States. Grew up in Memphis, and then back in, well, outside of Memphis now. I don't want to live in the city, but I have a couple acres out here in the middle of nowhere, close enough to work in Memphis, but not necessarily to live there anymore. I have nine children, three of whom still live with me. One is an adult and the other two are still minors. I have seven dogs, and I grow a variety of garden plants in my backyard.
That wouldn't be code word for marijuana, would it? I'm just playing.
Maybe one of them. I'm fascinated with the whole getting away from the store idea. I'm fascinated with, I've never in my life grown a garden until we moved out here 2 years ago. And we've just started getting more and more seriously. Mostly I grow in paint buckets, which since I'm a paint contractor for a living, I have a bunch of those. And it's worked out real good this summer. We grew quite a few plants.
Yeah, no, just so everyone knows, obviously he's talking about garden variety plants. I was just giving him a hard time.
So that's awesome, man. You're living the dream. You got out of the city, which I believe most of our viewers in the city would be very envious of you. I'm not too I'm actually very familiar with Memphis. I went to school at Ole Miss about an hour away, and we used to go to Memphis all the time. That is one dangerous city. And, yeah, I can't blame you for wanting to get out of there.
It is that, Michael. I mean, generally I do most of my work in the suburbs just because it pays better. But when we do work in Memphis, I mean, my son and I both go armed just in case. We've had a few crazy things happen to us while painting in Memphis, and I try and avoid it as much as possible. How's that?
Yeah, at best I'd go once a year when I was a student, and it was just to, you know, hit up some of the more prominent stores that you couldn't get stuff at, from Oxford there. Yeah, Memphis is dangerous, but Beale Street's a good time. You know, it's got its perks. It's just, it's a dangerous place, you know.
Right. I don't think Beale Street will ever have my band. They're a lot more blues than metal. I am going to plug my band, Fate Hates Me, which I play with my son, and we do all original music, so there's no hassles with covers and censors and paying the wrong people or the right people for playing their songs, because all the songs we play, we wrote.
So speaking of this band of yours, and you pretty much answered most of what I was going to ask, how to find you and all that, but I'm hoping you'll plug, you know, at least a video or two in the group this week, right around the time the show launches. But tell us more, how did that happen? What brought you and your son to play, and what got this off the ground?
Okay, I have to tell you about Kiva first. Kiva is his name, K-I-V-A-H. And I delivered Kiva. He didn't have a doctor in attendance. Heck, we didn't even tell the state he existed for 2 years after he was born. So Kiva and I have a unique relationship. His mom and I got divorced when he was 8, and the kids went to live with mom, although we had half custody. They all chose to live with him. And then he moved in with me when he was about 14, just turning 14 from 13. And he and I have had an interesting relationship all along. We work together. We play music together, and we still live together, which means we spend about 58 hours a week together. And most people, I'm not sure they would enjoy their sons. Now remember, I have 9 kids, so I can't say I have that good a relationship with all of them, but with this one, it's special. When he was 14, I had a bass hanging on my wall, and he came in and said, "Hey, I know you play guitar, and I know you play bass too, but you don't play the bass much. Can I mess with it? Can I borrow it?" And I said, "Sure, man." And then about a week later, we had kind of an argument, and I told him, "Just go in your room and stay there, dude. Like, just leave me alone. Let's not be at each other's throats. Just go away for a while." And he went in and learned how to play the bass in about 2 weeks flat, and came out with the coolest thing I've ever heard played on a bass, and played it for me. And he said, "Do you think this could be the basis for a song?" And I said, "No, dude, this could be the basis for a band. Let's form one." And so we did.
Now that is something, man. I got to tell you, you've had it lucky. I mean, in this regard, because I tried to pick up a guitar and it ended up being my little brother's, and now he's the one who plays. I haven't seen that guitar in 15 years. That's amazing, though. You know, you send your teenager to his room to avoid any drama, and he comes out a bass genius.
Really, he just has a natural aptitude for it. I didn't show him anything other than how the fretboard worked and what the names of the notes were and how to chart it and what works together. But, I mean, I did not teach him to play. I just left him to it. And he and I have written some pretty intricate metal pieces where the guitar and the bass are doing lots of opposite and almost contradictory things, but somehow it all comes together and works in the band.
And one of the things I noticed about your music, because I have listened to, I believe you sent me 2 videos or 1, but I listened to them, and I noticed that you have the Memphis roots, even though you're metal. I still could hear those Memphis roots, and I really liked that.
Absolutely. We are kind of a blues metal band. That is, we're not trying to play hugely complicated stuff. Most of our stuff is fairly simplistic. The video I sent you, "What About Death," is just me questioning, you know, various things, not necessarily religiously, but I mean, it does. I mean, we're all going to die at some point. We got to face it. So the song is about that. And Kiva and I have a long history of writing really weird music together.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. And so I just have to say it. Your band's name is Fate Hates Me, as I recall. I think you already said it. But what was – you told me a funny story about that. Do you want to share the story of how you came to be with – how that name came to be?
Sure. I was actually hanging out in a chat room with other musicians and just talking about stuff. And Kiva was sitting off to the side. We were chit-chatting and trying to come up with a band name for ourselves. And one of the guys in the chat room said to me, "You have 9 kids? You are effing crazy, dude." And I said, "Yeah, Fate Hates Me." And Kiva just looked over at me and went, "Absolutely, that is it. Fate Hates Me is the name of our band." And so we went with it.
So, not to take us away from this awesome part of our discussion, but going back to guns, you were telling me that, you know, you got land, you got your kids out there shooting. Do you have a favorite, or do they have a favorite? And if so, what is it?
The small boys are still mostly shooting 22s, and they're 10 and 11. A funny thing about that, they're almost exactly a year apart. We had Ben, and then we had our tubes tied, and then we had Eli. So they're 362 days apart. They shoot 22s. Kiva and I are both AR guys. I think he probably prefers 5.56, and I'm a 7.62 guy. And 12 gauge is always a big fan out here because, you know, blowing stuff up is cool.
Yeah, there's nothing more fun than blowing stuff up with the 12 gauge. So you're a 7.62 guy. You're right up my alley. Now, are you doing AK 7.62 or are you doing AR-10 7.62?
I have a custom made. Well, it's an AR-15, but it is chambered in 7.62. Still holds a 30 round clip, and it is just a fun gun. I had an SKS for a long time, but honestly, I like the AR platform. I think it works well. I've never liked 5.56s. I just like the little bit more damage that you get from a 7.62. And having fired both in the Marines, I made a preference and I've kind of stuck with it my whole life.
I'm glad you brought up the Marines. I was going to ask you about that too, actually. So you did the Marines for 4 years. Once a Marine, always a Marine. So thank you for your service.
Thanks, man.
My business partner, Marshall, who I'm going to give a shout out to, he is also a Marine. He did some time over in Fallujah. What was your time in the Corps like?
Well, I was only in peacetime. You know, we haven't been at peace that much in the United States, but I served from 85 to 89. And the first Gulf War was just kicking off as I was exiting. And they sure did offer me a nice bonus to stay in, but I'm an M60 machine gunner. 0331, and so I opted not to be a live target on the battlefield for what I considered to be not enough money.
Nothing wrong with that. So you got to fire the big toys, the M60. I know it's been replaced since, but I hear that was probably the better of the two, except for accuracy, but I don't know enough about that.
Well, so, they replaced it with a squad automatic weapon, which is a 5.56, and it is accurate and it's a machine gun, but man, the M60 did a lot of damage. I mean, when we were learning and we were practicing, they let us, you know, cut stuff up. They'd park trucks out there and say, you know, put 6,000 rounds in it, and of course you don't fire too fast with an M60 because you'll cook the barrel. But 3 to 5 round bursts, and we sure did cut up a lot of stuff with those guns.
Oh, I bet, especially during peacetime, you know, a lot of target practice, I imagine. You know, you're one of the lucky ones, as you know, and as you mentioned.
I do know, and I have nothing but respect for guys who have actually been there and done that. Mostly I, you know, guarded empty buildings and buildings full of weapons that probably were never at any risk from the general public. But still, I learned a lot. I went in a terrified, scared kid. I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm 5'3 and 150 pounds. So I went in a terrified kid and came out pretty self-confident and not too worried about anything, really.
And that machine gun must have been bigger than you. Hell.
man, they like small guys. You know, they used to say, of course, I'm 53, so I'm a little older than probably some of the audience, but they used to say that an M60 machine gunner's life expectancies was 2.5 seconds after he started pulling the trigger. So they like small guys. They're harder to hit.
That's a good point. Very good point. And I think that that is still the same doctrine these days. They'd still prefer to have a smaller or shorter, however you want to put it, machine gunner. Because, yeah, you are a target. There's no way to hide that flash. There's no way to hide where that report's coming from. So, yeah. But you're also the most important because without somebody putting down that automatic fire and suppressive fire, you know, you're going to lose a whole platoon if you're not careful. So, guys like you, you had the most important job. And I didn't serve, but it's just my opinion. But I would say that's probably the most important job in combat. And I'm sure I'll get a lot of flack for that if I'm wrong, but I feel that way.
You may get some flack over it, but I tell you what, anybody setting up to do a single good shot would be extremely happy to have an M60 gunner off to their right, making sure the enemy is all laying down.
And that's the whole point. You know, they have constant bullets flying over their heads. The first thing they're going to do is hit that deck.
That's
the beauty of suppressive fire. So, and yeah, that's great. So yeah. And America, I believe, has only been at peacetime for less than 8 decades as a country. So again, you're one of the lucky ones and I congratulate you for that. I know you wish you could have been out there, but the fact of the matter is you did your time and you served this country. And even though you didn't have to go anywhere, your service counts. And we do appreciate that.
Thanks for that, Michael. It's in a modern system where a lot of guys have been to combat. Sometimes we forget that it was just important to protect. And I mean, I was on a base, basically a glorified security guard looking over a bay full of ships, but somebody has to be up there watching to make sure nothing's going on.
Exactly. And any day in the years you were there, any day the Russians could have made a move.
Sure.
So you never know.
That's who we were concerned about. You know, I served middle end of the Cold War and that's what we were concerned about. We were always watching for some kind of infiltration. And there were multiple points on the particular base that I served where we watched the ships coming in and out of the bay. And I mean, nobody gets off a ship without talking to a Marine sentry.
So your time in the Marines taught you a lot of discipline and taught you how to handle yourself behind a firearm and not let the adrenaline get the best of you. And that brings me to my next question. You told me a story in which you had a situation where someone followed your daughter into the house and the way you handled it, I felt was just something we could all look up to. Do you mind telling that story on the air?
Sure, no problem. I was living in Grandview, Missouri, which is a poorer section, suburb of Kansas City. It's not a great place to live, but at the time it's what I could do and what I could afford. I was a brand new single parent. That is, the little boy's mom had left and I was just trying to figure out how to make ends meet and raise a 2 and 3 year old without a whole lot of help. My 16-year-old daughter lived with me at the time and she was a fantastic help as a co-parent, if you will, because I didn't have another one. But she was she liked to date and she liked to go out and have a good time, and that's fine. Never really stopped her from doing that. But she came home from somewhere, and I guess she irritated the upstairs neighbor, and he started yelling at her. And he was a little inebriated, but no excuse. I never excuse bad behavior just because someone's drunk. And this guy was screaming at her, and she opened the door and walked in. And I also was in the room, and she shut the door, and then he opened it and walked in, and then looked down the business end of a 12 gauge. And I politely told him that you need to back up, and he actually didn't. I fired a shot. I had slugs in it. I fired a shot between him and the door frame, which I know is not the optimum way to do it. But he decided that my living room was not the best place to continue that fight. We had, of course, lots of cops out there, and I didn't have any trouble, although he had multiple offenses. So he was already in trouble when they showed up. Let me just say it that way and not delve into the details, but he was already in a lot of trouble before he ever decided to take me on and come into the house. It was terrifying. My kids were terrified. I was terrified. I had a friend who was a girl over hanging out, and also she was terrified. In fact, I don't think she ever looked at me the same way after that. But you know, all is well that ends well, and my daughter was safe, and we were safe, and the boys were safe. I mean, I had a 2 and 3 year old in the house. I mean, my next shot, I absolutely would have put it through his chest if he'd have kept coming.
That's something. And, you know, neither one of us would obviously condone firing a shot into the door frame. And we'll call it a warning shot. And that brings me to a story I'm going to tell. The times have changed so much. Out here in Las Vegas, if someone breaks into my house, you know, if I give him a warning shot, my ass is going to jail. But yeah, if I shoot him to kill him and he lands in my house, then everything's fine. But if I give him a warning shot, whether it goes into a door frame or the floor, I'm in trouble. And that it makes no sense to me that they actually would prefer you kill the home invader. But then, of course, if you don't kill the home invader, you got a lawsuit to look at. But it's just amazing how times have changed in that regard, though.
All my sons, you know, I have 3 boys here and we're all armed. I mean, be clear, I am not an advocate of locking up firearms unless your children are ill-trained, in which case you should lock them up. But all mine are available to anybody who needs them, and loaded, because my kids have been training since they could pick up a 22. Nobody in this house touches a gun unless they need one, myself included. Like, there's no reason to drag them out and show them off and stuff. There's no reason for that. But we're all armed here, and I've told the boys 1,000 times, if somebody walks in the front door and they don't have any business here, haven't heard me say they're coming, drop them. Cause we're not doing warning shots anymore. Like you said, that era has passed.
It really has. So you know what, that actually gave me a new spontaneous question for you. We got a lot of first time gun owners now, and you know, they may not know better. You gave them a good piece of advice there. Keep them locked up unless everyone's well-trained in the house. But what would you tell a first-time gun owner as far as what they should do in a home defense situation?
Man, I think instinct is key. I don't know. I know lots of guys have neat sights on their guns and stuff. And I'm not really a distance shooter. I'm an instinct shooter. When we practice in the backyard, we set up targets and we shoot no sights. That is, you know, aim with your finger and pull the trigger. And we've all trained to do that. I know that other people won't advocate that shooting style, but that's what we do. And if a guy is new, man, he needs to get out there and shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot until that firearm is a part of you, until you don't even think about it. I mean, if I have something, we had a limb hit the top of the house the other night. And I was up with a gun in my hand because I thought the end was on us, you know, and already cocked and already safety off and already looking for intruders. And it was nothing but a limb. But yeah, you've got to get so comfy with it that it just becomes an extension of your arm.
That's exactly what they need to be doing. And I agree with that. And one piece of advice I'll add to that is, I don't care if you guys ended up going out there and buying cheap High Points or $1,000 AR rigs or M14s or H&Ks. You need to go out to the range, take those magazines with you, and you just keep dumping those rounds down target until you are sure that gun is an extension of your arm, because otherwise it will not work when it counts.
Yep,
don't understand the importance of that. Go ahead.
Got to be so comfortable with it that you don't hesitate, because I think a lot of new shooters, you know, you're talking about possibly killing another human being, which I don't advocate, but versus keeping my family safe. I mean, he's already decided his life isn't worth my, you know, his life is worth my stuff. So, or worth my kids. I mean, I'm more worried about that than I am stuff, but the way things are these days, I have a fence all the way around my house, Michael. Like, you can't even get to the front door without permission. I have 4 large dogs that patrol the grounds. If you've made it past the dogs, I'm automatically going to assume that you have bad intent.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And Tennessee law sure allows it. I know that much about it up there.
Absolutely. Hassle doctrine. We can carry in our vehicles without permit. No hassles.
Well, we've got it out here. It's everything. It's your house. It's your car. It's, to some extent, your yard. Just depends on how crappy the DA is. But Yeah, we've got something similar out here, and that's how it should be. And even though nobody in their right mind would advocate killing somebody, but when it comes down to you or them, you better make sure it's them. That's my opinion.
Absolutely. I like to tell people, I mean, I have surveillance cameras. Obviously, we're out in the country, so I like to know what goes on when I'm home, when I'm not home. You know, some of them record, some of them don't. I can log into any of them anytime. So, you know, somebody is always checking the grounds, and we do have some that record constantly. But the safety of my children in these days and times is paramount. I never, ever, ever want to harm another human being in anger or for some stupid pride issue. But if I think my children are at risk, count on it, I'm dropping them.
Amen to that, brother. So I have a couple more for you, and then I'll stop taking up your time. One of them, any thoughts on the election and its importance on our future with the Second Amendment?
Well, here's the deal for me. And I know you and I haven't talked a whole lot of politics. I'm going to list my choices. No one, Joe Jorgensen, Trump, then Biden. I don't really like my choices. I'm not a big pro-Trumper. That is, I think some people tend to see him as the Messiah. The second he did the bump stock ban, I became quite displeased with Mr. Trump and his stance on the 2A. Although, you know, it's better than some. I am not particularly political. I'm more of, can I say this? I'm a careful anarchist. I'm not out there breaking rules. I don't wish to cause any damage, do any violence. The only violence I'll do is in self-defense. But I also don't pay much attention to the surrounding world when it comes to me and my land. I stay home. I go to work. I play in my band. Other than that, I'm here. People would be shocked to find me here. You know, sometimes on a Tuesday afternoon, they may think that might be a great time to come check on my homeschooling kids. It would not be a good time, because chances are I or my son or my girlfriend or one of the kids will drop you anyway.
Yeah, there you go. Nothing wrong with that. And of course you can say that. I would consider you more of a ANCAP or a libertarian what you called it, but nothing wrong with that stance. I don't disagree with you at all. Trump, the bump stock thing was unforgivable, but with the Biden situation, in my opinion, it's just he's flat out said he's banning it if it's semi-automatic, so he's a no-go. And my only problem with Joe,
it's another automatic, you know, it's another weapons ban, so-called, you know, so-called military weapons that are not
exactly.
Unless I get full rock and roll on it, it's not a full, it's not a military weapon.
Yeah, if it ain't got a fun switch, it ain't no assault rifle. And then the only problem I have with Joe Jorgensen is it's just so hard to get a third party elected. And my fear with her is that by casting a vote for her in a state that matters as far as the electoral votes go, you're only going to be taking votes away from Trump. And even though Trump's not the Messiah, and I never liked the guy because he's no true conservative, but I trust him more because I just feel that Don Jr.'s got one of those Crusader-themed ARs, and I just don't see his dad taking that from him. Whereas
I like that.
You got Biden saying you're not getting anything, and if you keep it, you got to register it on the NFA. I don't know about you, but I got quite a few weapons that would have to get registered. I don't have $200 times that much to do that. Right. And then the 30-rounder's got to get registered too and all that nonsense. You just can't have it. So that's my thing about that.
Well,
but
rights are rights. I mean, you know, do I need a license to free speech? No, then neither should I need a license to free gun.
Amen. And I'm the same way. This is why you're the perfect fit. I'm telling you, Stephen, this is why you are the man. And we had to have you.
I have to say this, Michael. The reason I took up the word anarchist is because libertarians are crazy. You know, if you say anything bad about their candidate, for instance, I'll throw this out. It's not meant to, you know, hurt anybody's feelings, but there was a post by her, and of course she tagged Black Lives Matter in it. And I said on the post, you know, you realize that we're talking about a Marxist group and a libertarian just, and then of course they came back with, well, they're not talking about the group. They're talking about, you know, freedom for every person. Well, of course I'm for that, but I can't hardly countenance the whole tagging a group whose stance is obviously Marxist. I mean,
and it's guaranteed to be Marxist. They got the black power fist. That fist in the air has been a Marxist symbol for at least 100 years. So
absolutely, man. They're not fooling those of us who are old enough to remember what communism looks like.
No, that's for sure. And it's sad that this generation's fallen for it. I'm not going to say black lives don't matter. They do. Every life matters.
Of course.
In fact, it's just don't try to hide behind a communist agenda to promote racial equality. That's my view on BLM.
Well, and any group that uses violence, I mean, that's terrorism. Any group that uses violence to promote its a political agenda, I mean, it's the dictionary definition of terrorism. I mean, we're not having terrorists and then calling them good guys.
100% exact. And I got one more question for you, and then I'll let you get out and do your thing. I know it's your day off. Just it's actually to give you the final word. I believe you said you had a business. If you don't, then forget about it. But if you do, go ahead, add it in. Where can everybody find you? Where can they find your band? If you got a business, plug it. Anything you want to say.
All right, man. My business, which I also run with my son, he's a 40% owner in the business, having plugged a bunch of his own money into it long after I plugged a bunch of my money into it. It's McKee Custom Paint at Facebook, or it's on Facebook. You can type in McKee Paint and it'll come right up. My band is Fate Hates Me, and you can find that on Facebook as well. We also on YouTube, we have a bunch of live videos, and then the latest pro video that we did is called What About Death? We have another one in the works called Angel, about someone who's not one. and that's pretty much me, man. I'm 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, pro gun, pro business, and pro heavy metal music.
Well, brother, I appreciate you for coming on. Thank you again, and you enjoy your night off.
My thanks, Michael. My pleasure to serve, man.
Welcome back. I sure hope you enjoyed that interview with the man, the myth, the legend, Stephen McKee. So this week we had a rally in Las Vegas. Truly Henderson, President Trump spoke, and I'm going to play you something he said that really resonated with me, and then I'll continue with this. So, President Trump.
Equal justice for citizens of every race, color, religion, and creed. We will defend the dignity of work and the sanctity of life. We will uphold religious liberty, free speech, and the right to keep and bear arms.
So, welcome back yet again, and he said it. He's not going to mess with our Second Amendment rights, whereas Joe Biden will. It's all over his Twitter, it's all over his Facebook, it's all over his campaign website. Him and Kamala plan to take away everything, guys, and we can't have that. So, that's really something I felt that I had to play for you, and I hope it helps you make your decision at the ballot, if we ever get a ballot. That brings me to this week's audience shootback question. Do you think the mail-in ballots will be canceled? Tweet your answers to Twitter at StopGunBans, Facebook at StopGunBans, answer me in the private group, or email the show at podcasts@StopGunBans.com. And now I will say what I usually always say. No matter what happens, guys, if we have a bad bill come down, if we have a bad president elected, no matter what happens, it's our fault. We didn't do what we had to do to stop it. So get out there, have your family vote. If your kids are old enough, have them vote. If the mail-in ballots do happen, get them in. Make sure they're in right. The safest way to do it, in my opinion, would be to do it by October 20th. Just like an absentee ballot, get it out by that day so that there's a good chance it gets counted, assuming you even get your ballot by then. And just hope for the best. And we'll see what happens if things don't go the way they should. This was a great show. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm trying to get Anthony Calandro on next week. He's yet another man who needs no introduction. And then that will wrap up season one. And season two, I have big plans. We're going to go to the video format. I know you guys saw me on Crump's show. Fireside Chats, episode 121, which you can find at crumpy.com/121. I also did a panel about the possibility of a second American Civil War last Saturday night. You can find that at crumpy.com/122. I was one of, I think, 7 panelists, and we talked about a lot of the factors that could go into having yet another Civil War, and the election's a big part of that. I hope it doesn't happen, but I think it possibly could, as neither side may elect to choose the results as valid. So, yeah, that really covers a lot of what's going on lately, and I hope that if you like the show, you tell a friend. You can support the show by going to the Anchor website and clicking on support. I could use all the help I can get. The Season 2 equipment I need is not cheap. So that will, shameless plug time, take me to say that my Cash App is $Zubik17 and my Venmo is Michael_Zubik. Any contribution helps. I need a new computer. I need a microphone. I'll get it all figured out somehow, but we are going to do this. This is having to happen. And StreamYard, who we're going to be using to organize these live podcasts, will charge me $240 a year. So I need whatever I can raise to do that. The least I have to come up with out of pocket, being out of work since March, is preferable. I'm not here to beg you for money. I know COVID's been hard on everyone. I will run a few free editions of StreamYard for the first few shows if I have to. It's just not as cool because StreamYard's logo will show up and I'll have a little bit less control. Only 6 guests at a time. It won't be as cool. But as it grows, if I can't get any backers, it will get better. If you do choose to help back the show, I will see to it you are rewarded properly. If you are someone in the gun community, you will be on the show. If you are someone not in the gun community, then when the t-shirt store is back up and running, you will be getting some free stuff from me in return for your generosity. That said, everyone, I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Find us again, facebook.com/stopgunbans, stopgunbans.com, Twitter at Stop Gun Bans. You already heard where you could find Mr. McKee, but you need to find him if you haven't already. And frankly, he's worth it. His band's great, and I highly recommend him and everything he does. Great guy. So everyone, have a fantastic week. Enjoy your weekend, and I will see you next week. God bless.